thank you for being a Bump2 subscriber. In the second half of our talk, Terry and I explore fear and courage, the idea of listening to understand, and we talk about his book, Sustainable Excellence, and what it means for each of us in our own lives. One of the things I love about your website is you have a thought for the day. And your thought today is a quote from Theodore Roosevelt. Nothing in the world is worth having or worth doing unless it means effort, pain, difficulty. I have never in my life envied a human being who led an easy life. And then you ask, how can you use effort, pain, and difficulty to become a better person? What do you learn out of that?
I mean, it's, you know, it's funny. I have like 250 pages of quotes, and I don't know what the quote is going to be every day. I mean, I kind of go through them, and I'm like, what resonates with me? What hits me that day as, yeah, this is the one. And I struggle, you know, again, it kind of goes back to our brains not wanting, you know, we're hardwired to avoid pain and discomfort. People don't want to struggle. They want everything easy. Easy is good. I don't have to put out any effort. But the struggle, regardless of what it is, I mean, for me, it's, you know, it was basketball. It was, you know, starting a career in law enforcement at a relatively late time in my life. That struggle has made me a stronger, a tougher, a more determined individual, as opposed to just having everything, sitting back and having everything come to me. I like the struggle. The struggle is what gives me satisfaction in knowing that today was a good day. I won the day today because I struggled and I moved forward. Even if you move forward an inch, I mean, I always tell people, think about it this way. If you want to do something, what if you just got 1% better every day? And whatever that is, maybe you want to lose weight. Maybe you want to be a better, you know, geometrist, whatever it is. What if you just got 1% better every day? At the end of a month, you'd be 30% better than you were when you started that month.
That's so incredible, isn't it?
It is. I mean, you think about that. I'm 30% better in just 30 days because I got 1% better every single day.
Wow. You know, one of the things that I kind of find fascinating in this journey we're all on is I think that to know dark, you have to know light. To appreciate life, you have to face death. And one of the two things that are kind of juxtaposed, or on opposite ends of the spectrum, if you will, but are so related are fear and courage. I think you have to move through fear to demonstrate courage, but it's not easy. And I don't think you can know courage unless you know fear.
Yeah, people used to always ask us as policemen, you know, are you ever afraid when you're out there? And I used to tell people, it's like any cop that tells you they're not afraid from time to time is either a liar or an idiot, you know, because, I mean, there are certain things that we were exposed to that, you know, the normal person would be like, oh, heck no, I'm getting the heck out of Dodge. And I mean, I even remember simple things. I rode with a partner most of my time as a beat officer. And there were times we would be going to some innocuous run, you know, neighbors complaining that somebody needs to turn their stereo down or, you know, the TV down or something like that. And I remember there being times where either my partner or myself would be like, I got a bad feeling about this run. And instead of saying, well, it's a nothing run and dismissing that feeling, we were always like, okay, you got a bad feeling. We're going to now have to kind of up our game, even though it's something as simple as knocking on the door, please turn your TV down, have a nice day. We've got to be more tuned to what's going on, our surroundings and stuff. Because if you've got that feeling when the back, you know, the hair on the back of your neck goes up and you're feeling that way, that was given you for a reason, you know, that sort of fight or flight response. And even if it's something simple, when that happens, you need to pay attention to it. And so, yeah, there were plenty of times where I was afraid or scared or whatever you want to call it, but I didn't have a choice. I signed up to, as everybody's running away from the danger, to run towards it, obviously in a safe way. I mean, I didn't make enough money to get killed on the job, but, you know, that was always a possibility. And so you do it the best you can, the safest way you can realizing that, you know, there's always that chance, but that's not something you dwell on. And moving forward is, as you say, facing that fear and finding courage to continue to move forward.
Now, you also worked as a hostage negotiator, didn't you?
I did. That was, I was on the SWAT team, and we had hostage negotiators and tactical officers. And so we worked as a team, a unit, and that. And yeah, it was great. I loved doing that job. But it was so different because, you know, as a police officer, most of what you did was face to face. So if I got called, you know, on you for something, you know, I could see you. I was there with you. We're talking and stuff like that. And if you're balling up your fists or, you know, you're kind of looking around, I might say, well, she might want to fight me or she might be looking to run. And I could do something about it. I could mitigate that. I could sit you down. I could handcuff you, put you in the car, whatever was appropriate for why I was there talking to you. But as a negotiator, we weren't with that person. You know, we were maybe a block away or talking to somebody through a door or something like that. So we had to try to figure things out based on what people were saying, what they weren't saying, and how they were saying it. And a lot of it was sort of trial and error. You know, let's go down this rabbit hole and see what we find. And most of the time, if we were off base, and we were from time to time, you know, the person would be like, no, you idiot. That's not what I mean. I mean this. Okay. And part of that job was, and I think this is important in any relationship we have in life, is trust. We never lied to anybody. I mean, we had people certainly tell us, okay, you know, I'll put the gun down and come out, but I don't want to go to jail. Well, I'm sorry. When you come out, you are going to go to jail, but let's not talk about that right now. Let's focus on whatever it was. So yeah, it was a lot of fun, and 90% of the time we were successful in getting the person out, but 10% of the time we weren't. And they made the decision to end their life. And I don't mean to sound callous when I say this, but I never lost any sleep over that. I knew I did the best job that I could. I had outstanding training. I worked with great people that were committed to getting that person out alive and safe. And if they made the decision, you know, I mean, if you call me in the middle of the night to solve a problem that's been going on for 20 years, and I'm supposed to do it in 2, 3, or 4 hours, realistically, that's just not something that you can expect someone to do. I mean, the best we were hoping to do is get you out, you know, get you to jail. And then if you needed services, whatever that was, mental health services, whatever, get you the things that you needed so that we were not back here again. And that's one of the reasons we never lied to people, because we saw those same people again, and we never wanted them to say, you know, well, you said this, so now you've lost that trust. And there's no way that, you know, you're going to have to get somebody else in there to negotiate with them because, you know, Terry, you lied to me. I never lied to you. Absolutely not. You may think that, but I absolutely never lied to you. We always told people the truth.
That's a good pattern for life in general, don't you think?
Yeah, I do. I'm not smart enough to remember the lies that I tell. So, you know, it's kind of like, I just tell the truth and that way it'll work out.
Being a hostage negotiator, you must really learn to listen to people.
Yeah, that was one of the chapters that I felt was important enough to put in my book, was the necessity of listening. And not listening to reply, but listening to understand. And I know I've been guilty of, you know, in a conversation where, you know, it's like, you know, hurry up and say what you're going to say because I want to get my 2 cents in here. But that's not listening to understand. That's just listening, you know, hurry up because I think what I have is important and I'm totally disregarding you. If we listen to understand, and that's what we had to do as negotiators. I mean, it was almost an art. You kind of had to nuance the whole, well, they said this, but I think they mean that. And you really kind of had to, you really had to listen and try to understand where that person was coming from. And that took some time. That wasn't something I was born with or was just innate in my ability. That was something that came over time, over the years I did it and listening to what people were saying.
That's an extraordinary skill because it takes a certain amount of emotional intelligence to key in on what somebody else is, where somebody else is going under a stressful situation.
Yeah, it really does. And I mean, if you think about it, I mean, if you were talking to me, you're probably having the worst day of your life. Yeah, you know, I mean, if you think about it, I mean, in all honesty, I mean, you know, the police have surrounded your house and you're talking to a negotiator. I mean, most people don't even know a negotiator, not alone somebody that, you know, had to talk to a negotiator and stuff like that. So you really do have to focus in on it. And like I said, we had great training. We worked with a psychologist. I was fortunate enough to have trained with the FBI's hostage negotiation team and things like that. So, like I said, we were committed to doing everything we could within reason to get somebody out. I mean, we weren't going to give you drugs. We weren't going to do anything like that. Although I did honestly negotiate with a guy one night. I happened to be working and got to the scene early and talked to the district guys. And they were like, he's drunk. He's barricaded himself in his house with his wife and a gun. And so I talked to him for a few minutes and it wasn't the typical negotiation. And I said, what would it take for you to come out? He's like, give me a beer. I said, if I got you a beer, I'd have your word that you'd let your wife go, put the gun down and you'd come out. He's like, yeah, but I have your word that you let me drink the beer. I said, absolutely. So I gave one of the district guys $5. I said, go buy a beer. We put it on the front porch. And I said, hey, your beer's on the front porch, but you don't get it till your wife comes out and you put the gun down. All of a sudden, here comes the wife. Gun comes down. He comes out. We handcuff him, drink the beer, off to jail he goes.
There are so many great stories in your book and so many words of wisdom. What motivated you to write it?
The book really came out of two stories. One was a former player that I had coached that had moved to Colorado. And my wife and I had had dinner with her and her boyfriend a couple of times. And I remember saying to her, you know, I'm excited that you're living close and I can kind of watch you find and live your purpose. And she got real quiet for a while. And then she looked at me and she's like, Coach, what do you think my purpose is? I said, I have no idea what your purpose is. I said, but that's what your life should be about, finding that purpose. And then when you find it, living it. So that was one story. And then I had a young man in college who connected with me on LinkedIn. And he said, you know, what do you think are the most important things I should learn to not only be successful in my job or in business, but in life? And I didn't want to give him the, you know, get up early, work hard, help others stuff. Not that those aren't important. Those are incredibly important. But I wanted to kind of go deeper. I kind of wanted to see if I could get something that might resonate in his soul, so to speak. So I spent some time, I wrote some notes, and eventually I had these 10 principles, these 10 thoughts, and I sent them to him. And I stepped back and I kind of looked at the principles and I said, you know, I've got a life story that fits underneath this, or I know somebody whose life emulates this. And so literally between having my leg amputated in April of 2020, started chemotherapy in June of 2020, during that 3-month period, I sat down at the computer and literally built stories underneath those principles. And that's how Sustainable Excellence came to be.
It's just a wonderful book. There's so much wisdom in it. Is there anything you'd like to add to the book if you were to go back and revise it today?
You know, it's funny. I've thought about the book itself. And I think it's a book about how to be successful, how we can be successful in life. And the more I've thought about it, I think if I had to do it over again, or if I write a sequel, and I very well may, there's another S word that I think I would focus on. And that's significance. You know, success is what we do. You know, you're successful in business. I was successful in basketball. Significance is what we do for other people. Now, I think you can be both. I think you can be successful and significant. But I think significance, at least in my mind, is probably more important than being successful. So I would probably shift a little bit of that focus and move it more towards significance and a little less towards success.
If you could rewrite your story, would you?
No, I've had a great life. And, you know, people are like, oh, you have a cancer for 9 years and oh, this is terrible. Yeah, it's terrible. It sucks. But it's made me a better person. It's made me appreciate more things. It's given me a forum to help other people. So, you know, even with all the crappy stuff that's happened, no, I wouldn't change it.
Thank you for joining us today. I hope you found something in today's podcast that inspires you along your own life's path, because sometimes a bump in the road is actually a portal into a more conscious and meaningful life. You can subscribe to our free podcast at www.bumpintheroad.us or become a premium member to hear the full conversation. Just go to www.bumpintheroad.us for more information and to sign up.